Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Dean Good, and I want to welcome all of you on behalf of the family this morning as we remember the life of Anita Dogger. And it's a privilege to be here and to remember her life this morning. I want to just say a word. We're going to invite all of you for lunch after the service down at the left side here, down if you come out here, go to the left. I just want to make you aware that there will be lunch served after the service. Let's begin our time just with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence this morning in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that through Christ, our sins are forgiven, and that we have eternal life. Lord, we thank you this morning, especially for the life of Anita Dogger. We thank you for the blessing that she's been to many here in this place and many others who are not here. We thank you, Lord, for her life, and we thank you for this opportunity this morning that we have to remember that life. And we pray that you would bless our time here this morning. And we pray especially that you would comfort the family, and that you would strengthen the family, and that you would uphold them by your grace. We thank you for your grace in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Anita Dogger Vandermeer, affectionately known as Moo, age 100, passed away January 2, 2017 in Arizona, formerly married to the late Hank Dogger, devoted mother of Anki Amos, Paul, Ann Seedy, Fred, deceased, John Dogger, Kathy, Francina Bilski, Gary, Cirque Dogger, Donna, Bill Dogger, Carol, Howard Dogger, Pam, and Pete Dogger, Debbie. Grandmother of 17, great-grandmother of 23, and great-great-grandmother, sister of Hanny Wersima, at deceased, and brother of Ruud Vandermeer, lean. She was preceded in death by three brothers and three sisters, the daughter of the late Sirk and Ank Niklamer Vandermeer. A memorial service will be held Saturday, January 14, 2017, at 11 a.m. at Grace Church of North Olmsted, 4816 Dover Center Road, North Olmsted. Interment will take place at Ooster Cemetery in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Well, let's sing hymn number 81. If you want to take the hymn book in front of you in the pews, hymn number 81, and we'll sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Thank you.
Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. They shall tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he hath known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
I'd like to read a reflection about my mom, Anita Dogger, also known as Anaya or Nycha, or more commonly, Moo. She spent her last 10 years in Arizona, where my sister Francine looked after her. Moo was 36 years old when the family moved to the United States in 1953 with four children, and she was 6 months pregnant. She said to the family she was leaving, "Until we meet again." Over time, she had many opportunities to reunite with them in Holland and throughout the United States. Moo had four more children, making us a large family of eight. Over the years, we moved several times until we settled in Cleveland and joined the Christian Reformed Church, where we really built our lives around that church and the family. Although my mom was small, she had a large presence. Moo had determination, perseverance, and grit. She was very private in many ways, but she was also very welcoming. She would write letters at night to her family back home. I remember her writing with these airmail light blue onion paper papers every night that she wrote to her family. And then the flip side of that is on Sunday, she would open up her house and she would have coffee company after church for anyone who came. And we would sometimes have some pretty good-sized groups of people that would come to our house. That was every Sunday. She had one-liners that were used or found throughout our lives. These are just a couple of them. "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who built it labor in vain." That was always hanging on the wall. "In our house, we will follow the Lord." This one, I think many of you will probably pick up from all the kids, from her kid, all the kids of the family. "Plan your work and work your plan." We heard that many times. For our home, she saw a motto that we have over our front door that she felt fit quite well. It's called "Non nobis pro solum," which meant "not for us alone." And again, we tried to make our home open as Moo had done. Moo worked tirelessly, but set aside Sunday for church. As a family, we were very poor, but always held our head up high. We all worked and gave our earnings back to Moo so that we had food on the table. We always believed in her children, that they would be successful, and she was right. Now, only the Doggers are going to know this. The Weeble Wobble won't fall down. You can knock us over, but we'll always stand back up. And she gave each one of us a Weeble Wobble as a representative. She was a woman about town. Her means of transportation were by foot bike or public transportation, which she called her limousine. That was the regular bus. She always had a briefcase. And believe me, many of us wondered what was in that briefcase. When she lived in Strongsville, she went around town, and it was amazing how many people knew her in Strongsville. You know, if she needed help, if she needed a ride, they would pick her up, take her home, or take her to the grocery store. One time I was helping a family, and that was Brunswick, as a matter of fact, and we got to talking. As it turns out, he was one of the people that was picking her up and taking her places once in a while. So, I mean, she just had her way of getting around. And then taking her limousine, she would go downtown, and she would make her stops downtown. The one that I always remember is that she would stop at the Renaissance, and she would have her little drink and sit at the window so she could watch everybody at Public Square. So that was how my mom was. My son, who was not able to be here, summed up Moo's life with this tribute. Sundays after church, chicken noodle soup, strope waffles and windmill cookies, bird feeder outside the window, the triangle peg game, shelves upon shelves of photo albums, mementos and memories, parasols and velvet shawls, patent leather shoes, wooden shovels at Sunfort, which is a place in Holland, 4711 by the original Eau de Cologne. She never went without her 4711. Soft skin and beautiful eyes, southern comfort and bits of chocolate, matriarch of matriarch, correspondent to the world, such beautiful handwriting, Financial Times and tea at the Ritz, the arcade post office and stamps, grandchildren, children, and great-grandchildren, brothers and sisters, home to Holland, 1916 to 2017. So I brought along something that she gave all of us at the family one time, and this is a poem which tells you that I'm fine. I would like to thank all of you who are helping out so that I can feel fine. And that's with affection from Moo, and here it is. I'm fine. There's nothing whatsoever the matter with me. I'm just as healthy as I can be. I have arthritis in both knees, and when I talk with a wheeze. My pulse is weak, and my blood is thin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. I think my liver is out of whack, and a terrible pain is in my back. My hearing is poor, my sight is dim. Most everything seems to be out of trim, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. I have arch supports for both my feet, or I wouldn't be able to go on the street. Sleeplessness I have night after night, and in the morning I'm just a sight. My memory is fading, my head is in a spin. I'm peacefully living on aspirin. But I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. The moral is, as this tale we unfold, that for you and for me who are growing old, it's better to say I'm fine with a grin than to let them know the shape we're in. So, as many of you know, we celebrated Moo's birthday, 100th birthday, in Arizona, and all of the children were able to join her, which was fantastic. And right after that, Moo went home. And it can't be any better than that. I can just imagine Moo is sitting in her comfortable chair right now, looking down at us with a smile. Maybe it was a smirk. She was really not one for smiling too much. And saying, it is well. It is well with my Lord. And until we meet again.
Thank you, John. I must confess, I totally forgot about Weeble Wobbles. But thank you for that wonderful eulogy. Well, before we read the scripture and have a brief meditation, let us sing one more hymn. 285 in the hymn book. 285. Blessed be the tie that binds. Let me read Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 through 24, and it's my understanding that Anita did ask to have verse 21 to be engraved on her gravestone. Verse 21 is, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let me read Philippians 1, 20 through verse 23. "According to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. For that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake." Well, I must confess, I did not really know Anita. I met her. I have known Paul and Anki and their family for about 12 years now, and it's been a joy to know them. I did meet Anita, I think, at least once. I may have met her twice. But in talking with you and in reading some of the things that have been written about her, I think we can safely say truly that in so many different ways, her life was indeed a success story. She, in her life, overcame many obstacles. She was born in Holland in 1916 in the middle of World War I and grew up in Europe at a time that was a very difficult era, in between World War I and World War II. And then, of course, obviously, World War II and the Third Reich living in the midst of Europe and a lot of uncertainty and difficulties and troubles and trials. She certainly, I'm sure, had in many respects difficulties in those times and certainly many anxieties. At age 35 in 1953, she immigrated here to the United States, not knowing any English, having four children, and being pregnant. Now, those are a lot of things to overcome, if I can put it that way. Obstacles, difficulties. She came, and as you know, this family did have many struggles, and it wasn't an easy road, and she endured and overcame many challenges. And pretty amazing, she celebrated recently in December 100 years, a century. She saw many things come into this world, even technologically. It's hard to imagine that, or really to describe the difference in life between 1916 and 2016. Saw many, many things. And indeed, she left quite a legacy, a loving family, a family that appreciated her and cares for her and apparently learned a great deal from her, both from what she said and what she did. She left a loving family of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. And she was, according to testimony, known for her love for her family, known for her hospitality, known for her diligence and dignity. Sounds like she had a sense of humor, even though she didn't smile much. But I guess that's Dutch. So, you know, I have to confess, I'm German by background, so you know, I want to be gracious. I wore my orange tie, though. But truly, she left a legacy of someone that that all of you loved a great deal. And of course, she was well known also. I don't know a lot about this, but pink scarves that she knitted and for family. And I know that she met my daughter, and she actually knitted one for my daughter. I think Catherine's wearing it this morning. So she left, I know, many people who love her and cared for her. And it's a great privilege for us here to remember her life. And we're thankful for her. But I also want to, and I think this is a very important part of any funeral or memorial service, it's very important not only to remember the person and finally remember the good things that we know about them, but it's also important for us to think about the fact that someday we're also going to pass on, that death is before all of us. And that's an important thing to remember. This life will end. No matter how long we live, the death rate is still 100%. And this passage from Philippians is really a summary of how a Christian understands death. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let me just briefly explain that from the text, what he means, because Paul is very plain when you look at him and you actually study him out. Let me just first of all say something about the context of this verse. Paul wrote this while he was in prison in Rome. He was in prison for preaching the gospel. Actually, he was in prison because the Jews accused him falsely and he appealed to Caesar. He ended up in God's providence in Rome in prison for really preaching the word of God. He didn't know if he would be released or not. He was awaiting the verdict. And as he's awaiting the verdict, his prayer is that Christ would be glorified and exalted whether he lives or whether he dies. And that whether he lives or whether he dies, it wasn't really that important to him. If he would live, he would live as he has been living, and that is to please Christ. If he dies, it's gain because he goes to be with Christ. That's the context of what he wrote. Let me just briefly explain the meaning of that verse. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's Paul's testimony, really. In fact, it's a summary of his testimony. It's, in a sense, a summary of his theology. It's in two parts. On the one hand, he speaks of life. On the other hand, he speaks of death. He says, "For me to live is Christ." And then secondly, "To die is gain." Let me just briefly consider those two parts. When he said, "To live is Christ," I won't take the time to show you this in the scriptures. We could go through different verses of Paul's writings, but he meant at least three things, real briefly. The first one is this. He meant to live is to live through Christ. Paul had received eternal life by faith in the person and the work of Christ. Christ died for us. He died for our sins. He died in our place. His death was an atoning work for all those who would trust in him. And Paul trusted in Christ. He believed in Christ. And in his own words, he died and was resurrected in Christ. He died to himself, and his own opinions and his own desires to sin in order that he might live unto God. That's called the new birth. It's a change of heart. It's something that only God can do in a heart. It gives them new life so that they love God and trust God and walk with God according to his word. So when Paul said to live as Christ, he meant to live as to live through Christ. It's what Paul referred to so often as being in Christ. But he meant more than that. He meant to live as Christ is to live for Christ. That now that he was born again and that he had put his faith in Christ and trust in Christ, he had one purpose in life, and this is true of every true Christian, to glorify Christ, to live for Christ. No longer as a Christian is the question what I want to do or what I think I should do. The question is ultimately, how can I glorify Christ in everything I do, everything I say, and everything I think? And that's what Paul meant. To live is to live for Christ. It's to serve Christ. You might have a secular job. He's not calling you to a monastery. He's saying, do what you do for the glory of God and for the glory of Christ and to show Christ. And then he also meant to live as Christ is to live by Christ. Meaning this is not something Paul can do in his own strength, in his own wisdom, in his own goodness. It's something that he is utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit for. Indeed, in Paul's own writings, he says very plainly that the Christian is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within him, or within us, and it's through the Holy Spirit's power and work through the Word of God that we are actually made to be like Christ. And we live not on our own strength, but by the grace of God through Christ. In fact, really is summarized in what Paul said in another place in Galatians. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's what Paul meant when he said, "To me to live is Christ." When we can say that we are in Christ, then we can say, along with Paul, secondly, to die is gain. Listen, the Christian has nothing to hide, nothing to prove, and nothing to fear, not even death. Not only is death not something to be afraid of for the believer, it's actually something, as Paul says right here, we look forward to. Not in the sense that we want to die, but in the sense that there is nothing. We know that to die as a Christian is gain. We shall be like Christ, it says in 1 John 3. We shall be present with Christ, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5. So that to live in Christ, to live for Christ and by Christ and in Christ, is to know that death is true gain, not something to be feared. And that's really the question that I have for every one of you, because again, all of us are going to die. Now that's a depressing thought, but it is true nonetheless. And the question is, do you know Christ? Do you serve Christ? Do you love Christ? Do you walk with Christ according to His word? For then you can face death, not only without fear, but with joy. So let us, this morning, on the one hand, thankfully, joyfully, remember the life of Anita Dogger. But let us also, on the other hand, consider soberly and think honestly about the state of our own soul and the reality that all of us are going to someday face God. And the question is, are you in Christ? And do you know Christ? And do you love Christ? Well, let's pray, and then we'll have a closing hymn. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for the life of Anita Dogger. Thank you for this family and all the people that know her and have known her and loved her and have benefited in so many ways from her life and been blessed, as even we have heard the testimony today. Thank you for her. Lord, I want to pray for every single person here today, Lord, that you would enable each one of us to think seriously about the reality of death. Lord, we know from scriptures why we die. We die because we're sinners. And that's why all of us die, because we're all sinners. Lord, we need a Savior, and you provided that Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would work in every heart, Lord, according to the need, and according to your word, and according to the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all of your goodness toward us, and we thank you that we can hear today, remember Anita, and we pray, Lord, that you would uphold this family, even in the coming days, that you would comfort them and strengthen them. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing hymn number 580. It is well with my soul. Now, again, I want to remind you that lunch will be served. If you go out here to the foyer and turn left, it's at the very end of the hall. There's a fellowship hall. We'll have food down there. If you're able to stay, please join us.